This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rolls Hill County Historical Society. In June of 1990, Candace Schneider wrote this article in the Rolls Hill Times Region about some of the loggers of that time. Out in the Beltrami Forest, a unique blend of sound can be heard. Shrill bird whistles, twigs snapping under feet of deer, the wind winding through the pines, and an occasional buzz of chainsaws. This is one of the many work areas of the Minnesota loggers, men and women who help bring the populace napkins, newspaper, toothpicks, and lumber for homes. But that's not all they help with. 16-year logger John Brown has grown up knowing firsthand how loggers help revitalize forested areas. He's one of the dozen or so loggers left in the area who work full-time, year-round. Full-time numbers have dwindled from days when machines weren't as labor-intensive. John started in the profession with his father, James Brown, who logged for 61 years before his death in 1989. He grew up helping out in the sawmill south of the family's home outside Warroad, owned by James. Now the mill, called the 4J Sawmill, is a family legacy, named after James, John, and John's two sons, 13-year-old Josh and 8-year-old Jeremiah. He also has a 10-year-old daughter named Alicia. John said not much work is done in the sawmills these days. He spends most of his time in the woods or on his farm unless a neighbor happens to need some timber cut. His sons want to come help in the woods this summer, and John is flattered but modest about their interest. "Don't all little boys want to know what Dad does, at least for a while?" he asked. The big burly lumberjack with a bow saw, curly mustache yelling timber as giant redwoods fall is a vision of the past. What's still the same is the physically conditioned person with a gutsy attitude resting inside work boots covered with green pollen. It's a difficult, dangerous occupation, especially if you work alone. "Yeah, it's a little dangerous. I don't have a radio out here. My wife knows my schedule and usually knows where I'm at," John said. His safety rests on his wife, Mary, who agrees that after a few hours past quitting time, she'll come looking for him. After surveying John's hands, a few battle scars from his John's Red chainsaw can be seen. "I've been fortunate. Nothing's ever happened where I haven't been able to drive home. A few years ago, his left index finger was cut to the bone after his chainsaw jumped up and nicked it." "You have to have respect for everything that moves, and that includes falling trees," John said. As he first notches out a section of the tree to help it fall in the direction it's leaning, he's careful to calculate the trees and his chainsaw's moves. Spruce, jackpine, and aspen, or popple as John likes to call them, can be deadly if not handled safely. Logger Marlon Ravendalen, who works with her husband Bob, reiterated John's works through example. She said her son Scott cut his foot over a week ago and hasn't been able to work since. "Just one false move and anything can happen," she said. She respects the equipment and work, enjoying the useful feeling of helping with a family business. For Mother's Day, Marlon asked for a smaller model chainsaw. Now she saws off branches and clears the area while Bob falls the trees and drags them in with a skidder, a bulldozer-like machine that can move logs, remove stumps with a special attachment called a grapple, and maneuver through almost any terrain. The loggers know each other well, and even though there's a little competition, a sense of camaraderie can be felt when they visit each other's contracted areas. Last Thursday, most loggers seemed to be cursed with broken-down machinery as John visited a few logging sites. "Everybody knows each other," John said, "and they relate to each other's hardships. Competition for buying wood is one of the few things pulling them apart. We're all friends until the auction comes up," Marlon said. "Wood is sold by the state at auctions. If the demand is high and supply is low, bidding gets competitive. I've seen sales go up to $28 a cord," John said. After trucking fees, fuel, and operating upkeep are considered, John said the time and effort put into logging $28 cords of trees is hardly enough to feed and house a family. Wood usually sells for $10 and $15 a cord, but occasionally the prices rise. Winter is John's favorite time to log. The clear cut of the timber is worth the effort of adding a few more layers of clothing, he said. As timber falls in below zero weather, limbs break off, eliminating the step of clearing off branches from poles. I can work all day during the winter with my wood shack to warm up in, John said. Summer months, especially July and August, are exhaustingly hot for a worker to physically labor in the afternoon. So John said he tries to get his work done before noon. This means starting at 4:30 in the morning. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.